writing that the United States will be helping with the traffic buildup in the Strait of Hormuz. The president says big money will be made and Iran can start the reconstruction process, adding that the U.S. will be, quote, just hanging around to make sure everything goes well. Iran's Security Council says it submitted a 10-point plan to the U.S. that includes opening the strait, but Iran's armed forces will control that waterway, full compensation for damages, withdrawal of U.S. forces from the region, release of all frozen Iranian assets abroad, and cessation of war on all fronts, including in Lebanon. Those are all demands there. Israel says that it supports President Trump's decision, but Prime Minister Netanyahu says the ceasefire does not include Lebanon. Wall Street is celebrating the news. Dow futures jumped over 1,000 points after the ceasefire was announced, and oil prices have dropped below $100 a barrel again.
And if we're honest, what does the average American think about this? We want to know whether the gas prices at the pump are going to go down today. Because, you know, when the conflict starts and the price of oil goes up, the gas prices go up immediately. And when the oil prices go down, and they have gone down dramatically, like 17%, will the price of the pump go down? Because what we all think is, well, that's not the gas that you're buying over here. It's not the gas that they're selling for more there. That doesn't make sense. So will it make sense in reverse? We'll see. So, yeah, big news last night. Big news was that there was no news, or not the news that we were concerned about, that there would be, you know, this massive bombing campaign targeting particularly bridges and power plants, as the president had said after in his press conference on Monday, and as a lot of people had raised concerns about. The way this all played out, you remember that on Sunday, on Easter, was the... I just want to call them tweets. I wish I didn't have to call them truths. I really do hate that term. So disgusting. Such a manipulation of language. But okay. On Truth Social, President Trump, like, you can't describe it without implying a certain value to it that you may or may not believe is accurate. Like, what do you say about a truth post that's false or that you think is misleading? What do you call it? Well, you're calling it a truth in the process of describing it. I mean, it's just... Anyway, I almost want to call him Trump Social. Maybe I will call it that. Anyway, Trump Social on Trump Social. I kind of like that because as soon as I say it, you know exactly what it is, right? Okay. Which is not to say about any particular one. Just, you know, on Trump Social, that fits really good. I'm gonna go with that. This is on Sunday. Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran. There will be nothing like it, 3 exclamation marks. Open the effing strait, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell. And he did not censor his language. Just watch. Please, praise be to Allah, President Donald J. Trump. So epically trolling, swearing on Easter. It raised a lot of, you know, criticism. I just, in my mind, I viewed this as just another Trump negotiation tactic. Because that's what he does. He uses language and threats and coercion and everything at his disposal in order to get what he wants, which is to denuclearize Iran, make it incapable of developing nuclear weapons, no longer a threat to its neighbors and so forth, you know, all the things. Well, then on Monday, he does the big press conference in which he says, oh, yeah, 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I pushed it back already several days, and I pushed it back 10 days to 11 days and, you know, all the things he said in the press conference Monday that we talked about yesterday. So 5:30... our time, well, I guess it was Eastern time, sorry. Around 5:30 last night, the official statement from Iran posted on Trump Social. On behalf of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I express the gratitude. This is not by the president. This is the president posting what Iran said. On behalf of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I express the gratitude and appreciation for my dear brothers, H.E. Prime Minister of Pakistan, Sharif, and H.E. Field Marshal Munir. Honorable Excellency, I think is what the HE stands for. I apologize, not knowing. For their tireless efforts to end the war in the region. In response to the brotherly request of Prime Minister Sharif in his tweet and considering the request by the U.S. for negotiations based on its 15-point proposal as well as announcement by the President of the United States about acceptance of the general framework of Iran's 10-point proposal as a basis for negotiations, I hereby declare on behalf of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, if attacks against Iran are halted, our powerful armed forces will cease their defensive operations. For a period of 2 weeks, safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz will be possible via coordination with Iran's armed forces and with due consideration of technical limitations. Saeed Abbas Argachi, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Islamic Republic of Iran. It's not a surrender. It's not an admission of defeat. And it actually is a very particular conditional, if then, if attacks against Iran are halted, so as long as the United States does not and Israel does not attack us, then our powerful armed forces will cease their defensive operations. That's a really weird phrasing. Why? Because it promises not to shoot against anybody coming against them. It literally promises nothing. Because on the one hand, if Americans, for example, or let's say Israel. Okay, let's say Israel didn't abide by the ceasefire. If Israel is going against Iran, Iran has said, well, I mean, the attacks weren't halted, so no obligation for us, right? On the other hand, if Israel does not attack, then attacks against Iran are halted, and our armed forces will stop defending ourselves against attacks that are not happening. You follow? This is a no promise of anything. If they're being attacked, they haven't promised not to stop doing anything. If they aren't being attacked, they promise not to act defensively. What didn't they promise? They didn't promise to do anything else, like, say, launch missiles or rockets against other nations in the region, which I have not seen a lot of reporting on this, and so I'm going to put this at a 70 to 80%, but one person who has been incredibly reliable throughout this whole thing, Mark Rothman on Facebook, he says, did you see what happened in the wake of the ceasefire? They threw a bunch of bombs and rockets and missiles against everybody else in the region, not against us. Now, I haven't seen a lot of reporting on this at all, but, one person who at least has been fairly reliable throughout all this says this is happening. And if you read the actual document from Iran, it's not a violation of the ceasefire because the ceasefire they agreed to was to not defend themselves against Israeli and American attacks, and there are no Israeli and American attacks happening, and they're not responding, so the ceasefire is in place. They didn't promise not to attack anybody else, and it's not defensive anyway. What he reports is that Iran launched missile attacks on 5 countries 2 hours after the ceasefire went into effect. United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Kuwait, 5 sovereign nations targeted by Iranian missiles and drones just 2 hours after a ceasefire was announced, not 2 days, not 2 weeks, to test the terms. 2 hours. So, again, like I said, this is only one report that I have seen of this, of somebody who has otherwise been very reliable. Everything this person said about the rescue turned out to be accurate. So, I don't know what to think about this because if it's true, it's Iran reacting, or it's Iran engaging in warfare against other nations, but not against us. So, we'll see. Meanwhile, the announcement from the president on Trump Social was based on... I'm sure that Trump supporters hate it. I'm sure they hate that term, Trump Social, because it feels like I'm not describing the thing accurately. Yeah, but I don't feel an obligation to voice somebody else's propaganda. So pick a less propaganda-oriented description, and then I won't feel forced to not use it. Like Gulf of America. I try not to engage in propaganda. Anyway, Trump says, based on conversation with Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif and Field Marshal Asim Munir of Pakistan, I know a lot of people are kind of surprised, like, how did Pakistan get to be the moderate peacemaker in the region? They're more moderate than Iran. And they're available and they're willing. It's not all that weird. Anyway, and we had known Pakistan was working on this stuff for several weeks now, right? Wherein they requested that I hold off the destructive force being sent tonight to Iran and subject to the Islamic Republic of Iran agreeing to the complete, immediate, and safe opening of the Strait of Hormuz. So President Trump is emphasizing a different set of facts, right? Which they also agreed to, opening the Strait of Hormuz. Anyway, I agree to suspend the bombing and attack of Iran for a period of 2 weeks. This will be a double-sided ceasefire. The reason for doing so is that we have already met and exceeded all military objectives and are very far along with a definitive agreement concerning long-term peace with Iran and peace in the Middle East. We received a 10-point proposal from Iran and believe it is workable basis on which to negotiate. Almost all of the various points of past contention have been agreed to between the United States and Iran, but a 2-week period will allow the agreement to be finalized and consummated. On behalf of the United States of America as president and also representing the countries of the Middle East, it is an honor to have this long-term problem close to resolution. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. So, we'll see. I say this a lot. We're dealing with lunatics, ideological psychopaths. They don't care about other people. They don't care about what we think. They don't care about anything except if you take them seriously, what they care about is pleasing their twisted version of God, Allah. And that's long been the concern, is how can you make peace with such people? Because, if they win in a conflict, good. If they kill all of the Jews, good. And if the Jews kill all of them, even better, straight to heaven, straight to paradise, lots of virgins. Best to kill for Allah, even better to be killed for Allah. Well, how can I haven't used it much here in Pensacola, but a phrase I used to use when we talked about this in previous work on the radio was always, us and it's the difference between us and them. There is a big dividing line between, the Wahhabi sect of Islam throughout the Middle East. That's the, Sunni Muslims, right? So, and then you have the Shia Muslims, which is Iran mostly. They also have their apocalyptic vision of the future. It's almost impossible to negotiate with such people. They will lie, they will kill, they will steal, they will do anything they want in their vision of it being justified for the end goal of pleasing their bloodthirsty Allah. Like, not that all Muslims have that view of Allah, but they do. And, how can you even coexist with such people? Because you know that they're just waiting to do it whenever they get the chance. And that's one of the challenges of operating in a world where people like that have lots of power. And one of the reasons why the president has so consistently again and again and again and again and again and again and again said they cannot have a nuclear weapon. Why? Because these people, you cannot allow them to become armed with weapons of mass destruction. So as I sometimes get tired of saying, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if the attacks against other countries turn out to have been correctly reported. We'll see if that gets to be considered a violation of the ceasefire. We'll see what happens with the Strait of Hormuz. We'll see. But there's reason to be optimistic. The markets are way up. Oil prices are down. Gas prices, TBD. if this pans out, and I certainly don't have a high hope that it will long term, but if this pans out, President Trump will have spent a whole bunch of money and some, people being wounded. And thank goodness, no loss of life for the Americans. But in the process, we'll wind up maybe defanging Iran, maybe setting the stage for them to become a more normal global partner and at least not to be a threat to all their neighbors and to Israel. Maybe. And if that turns out to be true, and he did that at the height of Iran's threat, kind of not quite yet able, but wanting to get to be able to destabilize the region and attack it. And if it winds up being a reduction in hostilities in Gaza, Lebanon, Yemen, so forth, Syria, huge win. And a president did it at the hardest time to do it. And nobody else would do it before that. But all of that is TBD, right? We'll see. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And if you are needing that next roof, I know nobody gets up in the morning wishing for it. What do you ask for Christmas? Ask for a new sweater. Ask for nice, nice meal out. New stereo system. Get me a new roof, Santa. No, It's not the kind of stuff a kid gets up in the morning and dreams about, even a 50-year-old kid. But it is the kind of thing that adults have to buy every once in a while. It's annoying, but it's true. And they're expensive. They're not cheap. Roofs are not cheap. But so what do you want? You want one that's going to last? Well, Quality Roofing Solutions warranties their roofs for the lifetime for workmanship. Nobody else does that I know of. That's amazing. They actually just started doing that last year. They extended it from, I think they were 10 years before, and now they just say lifetime. You want somebody who's going to treat you like a person and not assume that you know everything and treat you with respect and dignity. They do that. That's part of their mission. You want somebody who's well-rated and, people give them good reviews, 4.9 on Google after 10,000 roofs in the last 20 years. So check, check, check. Give them a call. Talk to them and find out if Quality Roofing Solutions isn't exactly what the name says. 777-0961, qualityroofingsolutions.com.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter. Today, Pensacola Sports will be the guests on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports' focus has, and always will be, on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in today at 10:30 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing their upcoming events on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
A cool thing happened last night. It was getting to be late, and we have some relatives who are in town, and we had not seen the new Carpenter's Creek Headwaters storm pond that's over there on Olive Road. You know, because Carpenter Creek starts on the north side of I-10. In fact, it starts way up on the north side of I-10. There's another kind of sort of, not quite headwaters, but another sourcing for it that's a little bit west of there as well. Right by West Florida High School, there's part of it that there's kind of a branch right on the south side of 10, and it goes north side of 10 and then that other part as well. But I had not been up to see it. It's really nice. It reminds me of the one, I always forget the name of it, by Dreamland Skate on the south side of also Olive. And, you know, where it's got a big walking path around it, and it's got a couple of boardwalks and a walk through the woods and about 8 gajillion gnats. It was really like, I don't know if it's because we went at dusk, but if you go at any time, you might want to take with you, I don't know, a rake, something that you can wave through the air and clear the air of all the gnats. It was, all of us were walking through it, you know, continuously, but it wasn't that, they're gnats, they're not mosquitoes, it wasn't that big of a deal. Anyway, no, but really nice looking, beautiful. It's a stormwater project. They did what Escambia County usually doesn't do well, which is Escambia often puts like the chain link fence around these storm ponds. And in this case, it's got the, what is the name of the one down by Old Stinky? I just can't remember right now. The nice one there that's got the metal railing that's black all around it, and it's only 3 foot high. That's what they've got around this storm pond, so it's aesthetically pleasing. They don't have a lot of heritage oaks. I think there's one heritage oak there. Anyway, the thing I noticed about it is we were there at, I don't know, 7 last night, maybe something like that. And there must have been 20 or 30 people there, a bunch of kids, people riding on the path and like using it. At night, almost dark, there were a lot of people. So this park is apparently getting a lot of use. So kudos to Escambia County for completing this project. It's only been open a couple of weeks, a month, not even.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. A 14-day ceasefire deal agreed to the president, riding on Truth Social overnight.
He said a big day for world peace. Iran wants it to happen. They've had enough. Likewise, so has everyone else. The United States of America will be helping with the traffic buildup in the Strait of Hormuz. There will be lots of positive action. Big money will be made. Iran can start the reconstruction process. We'll be loading up with supplies of all kinds and just hanging around in order to make sure that everything goes well. I feel confident that it will.
Fox's Yalouz Andrea Hoff, Vice President J.D. Vance weighing in.
What the president did is he basically issued an ultimatum to the Iranians. He said, open up the straits, stop trying to hold the world's economy hostage, and we'll engage in a ceasefire. And that's exactly the agreement that we came to last night.
Vance earlier at a college in Hungary. The Pentagon provides an update 8 a.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 56 right now. We've got clear skies. We will get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson up in just a few minutes. Pensacola's Community Redevelopment Agency has approved a new pilot program aimed at filling a gap in the city's affordable housing toolkit. The small-scale rental development pilot program will offer financial assistance to small developers and property owners looking to create affordable rental units within CRA districts. The CRA staff member explained what prompted the program.
When this happened, it highlighted a gap in available assistance in the area for small developers wishing to develop a small number of rental units. So at that time, the board directed staff to create a new program tailored to these needs.
And the program offers up to $75,000 a year for non-legacy applicants, capped at $550,000, up to $100,000 per unit for legacy applicants, property owners with a documented 15-year family connection to the property. The CRA will now publish an RFQ to bring a financial institution in to help formalize and administer that program. There's two big events coming to Pensacola Beach this weekend. The 10th Annual Firefighters Challenge at Casino Beach. That'll run Friday and Saturday with competitors from across the country tackling a five-station obstacle course. A kids' challenge is also part of Saturday's lineup. Separately, more than 100 swimmers will be competing in the DeLuna Open Water Swim in the Santa Rosa Sound on Saturday morning. Both of those events, of course, are free to watch. The Palafox Pier Fountain is getting back on track, and at a fraction of the originally expected cost. Earlier this week, the Pensacola CRA approved $25,000 of its original $120,000 allocation for the fountain repair after Marina Management agreed to cover the cost of bringing the pump above ground at no charge to the city. The remaining $95,000 was redirected to street improvements. The fountain is expected to be back in operation later this year. Senator Rick Scott is applauding President Trump for agreeing to the ceasefire with Iran. Scott says it's excellent news and called it a strong first step towards holding Iran accountable. He also said it's what happens when you have a leader who puts peace through strength over chaos and weak appeasement policies. Scott predicting that America's future will be safe and strong. And Florida is drawing record amounts of wealth from other states. That's a claim from Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday while he was speaking at a conference in Miami. DeSantis said Florida has had more adjusted gross income move into the state under his watch than has ever moved into any state in the history of the U.S. DeSantis credits the state's pro-business policies and other states' high tax policies and said Florida shows a great framework for how states can succeed, grow their economies, and give people more opportunity. It is 5:34, and let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3.
We are going to be looking at a small 20% chance of some rain today, otherwise partly sunny skies, high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 77. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Going into Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 78 degrees, and Friday night, temperatures dropping near 61. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 56, clear skies, your next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Omari with Your Money Now. Elon Musk is seeking to have OpenAI CEO Sam Altman and President Greg Brockman removed from their roles as officers in the company as part of a case expected to go to trial later this month. Jury selection for the case is slated to begin on April 27th in a federal court in California. Anthropic has announced Claude Mythos Preview, which it said is an advanced AI model that excels at identifying weaknesses and security flaws within software. Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, CrowdStrike, and roughly 40 other companies will be able to use the model for defensive security work. Oil prices are sharply lower after President Trump agreed to halt attacks on Iran for 2 weeks in exchange for Tehran allowing safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz. West Texas Intermediate currently down by more than 15%, sitting at roughly $95 per barrel. Brent is currently down by more than 13%, hovering at $94 per barrel. Futures are way down, with the Dow down by more than 1,100 points. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, I'm Jonathan Cook, owner of Jonathan's Construction Flooring.
Hello, this is Ricky Stewart, licensed independent agent serving my Medicare clients here in Pensacola.
What do these businesses have in common? They've trusted our years of marketing experience at ADX Communications.
I love supporting your radio station because you guys care about this community. You know what you're doing. You're detail-oriented.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform.
I enjoy working with the great team with this radio station. Dependable, local, professional, result-driven ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, Sports Radio Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you do?
Even though we do have a funding agreement in place with the sheriff, if something happened like that, I mean, you know, we can enter agreements in the best of faith, but when things like this would happen, no one would have anticipated that at the onset of a funding agreement. And I think it would take a conversation and a partnership even with him. I mean, I think that would, and I don't think that's unreasonable. I mean, Chip has been on, you know, he did spend a couple of years on this side of the equation as well. You know, it's not just been city law enforcement and county law enforcement. I mean, he's been on our side, and you know, you can't anticipate all the variables at the beginning of some of these.
Well, and I agree with that, Commissioner Berry.
So, Escambia County Commission, during a kind of a budget-ish discussion last week, and talking about the property tax issue, if the state actually does eliminate homestead property taxes, the $79 million hit to the budget, about $4 million to the library as well, and what that would mean for them. And in that conversation, Mike Kohler had mentioned that obviously constitutional officers, that's your, you know, clerk and your election supervisor and your sheriff, everybody who you elect independently and doesn't have their own ability to set a budget like the school board or ECUA, that those people are going to, you know, they're going to be part of the cuts as well. Well, the sheriff is in the middle of, I think, a three-year deal right now, and Stephen Bear and Mike Kohler seem to think, well, he's a reasonable guy. He used to work for them, well, at least for Stephen Bear, as the assistant county administrator, so he'll understand that the terms need to change. Now, this is a lot of if, but, you know, obviously we have to think about this because we're looking at a special session right now and then what would happen eventually. Joining us now, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I just wanted to get your reaction. I assume you guys have also been considering all of this and the varying messages. Would it be possible, you know, could law enforcement get cut? Would increases that don't happen, would that constitute a cut? And the deal that you're in with the Escambia County Commission. And I wanted to give you a chance to comment, respond, whatever you think.
Well, I mean, obviously, things can change. I think at this point, we are still in a budget agreement with
three years,
county. 3 years, right? Yeah. We're in year one, I guess, of that agreement. And as of right now, we don't know what's going to happen with the property tax. There were a couple of bills in the House and a couple in the Senate, and I think just one in the House made it, but nothing made it through. That's why there's a special session. We don't know what the governor's going to do. I do think that it's prudent to start looking ahead. What ifs? You know, we always do that. We always plan ahead, and we've done that internally as well. And while I certainly understand if you enter into an agreement and all of a sudden there's no money, something has to change. To Commissioner Berry's point, I do understand that. However, I would hope that there would be some alternative funding source for public safety. I happen to think that the sheriff's office, ambulance service, fire are top priority, and that the Board of County Commission will find a way to fund it at the existing or the certainly fulfill the 3-year budget deal. But if you ask me if I understand that if all of a sudden there's a cut to the budget, that things have to change, we have to reevaluate things, I do understand that. I mean, I'm not crazy. But regardless of what you hear.
I don't hear that. But yeah, and I just, obviously a lot of this is sort of planning for the future and hypothetical what if. But yeah, I tend to think politically it would be almost, I mean, it would be very, very bad for them to come out with public safety cuts. But then again, you know, I mean, if big chunks of your budget go away, something has to give. And that's kind of the point that they're trying
to make. Well, and again, part of the reason why I believe it did not pass so far is because there was a lot of concern about that, about public safety cuts and about different things. There were some bills that had carve outs for law enforcement that they couldn't be cut. However, if you don't increase the budget, then you're basically cutting services because costs are going up. But I think that.
Well, and even your deal has a stair step. I mean, your deal is more every year. Right. So,
but because the cost of insurance and the cost of Florida retirement system, all these things that are out of our control, quite frankly, are, you know, there are some additions. And I would just remind everyone that while I feel like the Board of County Commissioners and I, we worked on this in earnest and it was a good thing. We're not getting the pay raises that the Highway Patrol was getting. We weren't getting the pay raises that the Florida Department of Law Enforcement are getting this past couple of years either. So I think it was a fair deal. I think it's certainly working for our recruiting. We have, I was meeting with representatives from Ashley Moody's office yesterday, actually last week, and we were talking about the fact that we don't really have a recruiting issue right now. We have three vacancies in the sworn side, and we have about 40 people on the list. So it's working out very well. So my point is, we've never been in a better position than we are now as a sheriff's office, but we always take a look at the future and try to plan for what lies ahead.
Anything else out of that meeting with the senator that you want to mention that was, you know?
Well, the discussion there was with his chief of domestic policy, and the name escapes me right now, but it's a Bia is who we met with. But anyways, we were talking about what they could do.
Okay.
Senator Ashley Moody has always done a good job, and so has Senator Scott, of asking what can we do for you. Mm-hmm. We talked about sovereign immunity. We talked about supporting law enforcement. We talked a little bit about ICE. We talked a little bit about everything. And I just wanted to make sure that they understood locally. We appreciate the support on the federal side, just like we would on the state side.
You know, we don't like to use that Q word, but a relatively low level of high profile incidents in the last week. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, no, I took a look at our the unusual reports that might have surfaced, and there's
pink hair, tongue out. Is that the big story?
Yeah, well, that's one of the stories, I guess. Yeah, you know, we deal with a variety of people on a daily basis, and sometimes these individuals are not afraid to fight law enforcement. In this particular case, that's what this guy said: "I'm not afraid to get a charge." which means he's, you know, he's coherent enough to say, I know what I'm about to do, and I know there'll be a charge, and I'm willing to accept that. And he did. So he punched our deputy and broke one of our deputy's glasses, ended up taking the charge that he yeah. was foreseeing. And now I'm assuming he's still in jail.
This is Marcus Allen. This is the guy who allegedly hit the cop. Well, you say he did. I know I take your word for it. As they were trying to apprehend him, this is the crazy red hair, dreadlocks, and the tongue sticking out guy. And his, do people perform a lot for that? I mean, no, you don't. I know you don't run the jail, but you used to kind of, you know, you were the supervisor over that part. You kind of read before you were the sheriff. Okay, when you worked at the county.
Yes.
And you worked in the jail for a long time. Do people perform for their mugshots a lot? Is that a common thing?
Some people that just, you know, that have been there a time
enough
or two
times, yeah.
and they understand that this is a photo shoot and they take advantage of that. Yeah.
I'm just like, show me the pouty face. Show me the, like,
they understand it's going to be out in the public.
It's going to be there.
And they
so,
might as well
right.
make the most of it, their opportunity.
We also had, Pensacola Beach, you had what, one arrest? I mean, things are quiet pretty much on the beach, right? For the spring break is almost over or mostly over.
It's mostly over. There's a couple of colleges from Louisiana that are still having their spring break. But, yeah, I talked to Lieutenant Barnes, who's over the beach, yesterday, and we talked about, you know, they did have some large crowds. There seems to be this thing where these teenagers, and by teenagers, I mean 13, 14, 15-year-olds.
Who cannot drive?
That's right. They get dropped off, or they get to catch rides with their grown-up peers. Or more grown-up peers.
Wait, I understand going with your 16-year-old buddy, but parents are dropping their teenagers off at impromptu gatherings at Pensacola Beach?
Yes, that's what they're telling me, yes.
Parent?
Because my question
what
to them...
What parent does this?
Well, parent's a strong word. I will tell you that there are, you know, I was asking, I said, where are they parking? Because, you know, it's a gridlock, even in later afternoon on Pensacola Beach. And they said, well, then parents or neighbors or individuals drop them off, and then they don't have to park. They just drive away and come back a couple hours later. That's what some of them do. Some of them, obviously, will drop them off and then find a place to park a lot farther down the road. And so those are the issues that we have been dealing with. But we have had...
Pensacola Beach is like the new mall.
It is. There are people that want to make it with regards to that teen hangout place. Which, again, there's nothing illegal about
nothing
hanging out.
Right.
There's no problem with that. I will tell you, though, and you know, if you're listening to this, you're gonna judge what I say. But I'm telling you, you may judge what I say, or you probably agree with it. If you're dropping off your teens, or if you don't know where your teens are going on a Friday night, Saturday night, and you're aware of some of these teen takeover type operations throughout the state, not just here, or throughout the country, really, then you're part of the problem. I think you've got to pay attention to where your kids are going. It was true in the 70s and 80s and 90s. It's certainly true now, because there are videos of what they're wanting to do is get into a large parking lot, large area. They video themselves dancing on cars and doing different things. We haven't had that over last weekend, but we did have that the first weekend of spring break. And we have over probably double the deputies that we typically would have to prevent any kind of disruption of businesses or fights or anything worse.
I know you can see it on my face. I'm just in disbelief that the parent of a 14-year-old, you know, gets asked, hey, can you take me out to the beach? Well, why? No big deal. Just take me out there. A bunch of friends are going to the beach. Am I just leaving you there? Just leave me there. What are y'all doing? Oh, it's an outdoor rave. Oh, okay. Here we go.
Well, again, there's two things.
What is wrong with you?
It's not always the parents. There are some parents. Okay, there are grown-ups.
Right. But I get that the 17-year-olds are stupid. Okay, I get that. I mean, I was 17. I get it. It's the parent part. I just can't believe parents are, you know, all right, hop in the minivan. You got any friends who want to go? Like,
well, I mean, I also would encourage them to ask the questions. Where are you going? Who are you going with? And what are you going to be doing? Because you better not end up on some TikTok video dancing on the hood of a car at not just the beach, at the mall or wherever you may be going.
Okay.
These are just some of the things that we have to deal with.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go home and sit with this one for a while. Meanwhile, in other sort of good news, you have put a wrap up on one of your vans, I guess. Is this a patrol van? What is this exactly?
We know our honor guard does quite a bit of traveling. There's an officer that loses their life in our region or in the state of Florida, we will send a crew up there as well. In fact, our honor guard will be going to both Tallahassee and to the Washington Memorial because we're adding Deputy Jeremy Cassidy to the wall in both the state and to the National Memorial. So they'll be driving soon. It's the van that they had.
So it literally is the Honor Guard van that has now been wrapped with Honor Guard.
That's the only people that will be using it. That's
got it. Okay.
And the so they wanted it to look like an Honor Guard vehicle, and also to pay tribute to those who have paid that ultimate sacrifice. And the foundation, Skamby County Sheriff Foundation, has decided that, hey, we'll wrap that. We'll pay for that wrap. And if you look at the van now, it's not just a white van. It is a what I consider a beautiful honor and tribute to those who've paid that ultimate sacrifice.
It is.
In
it
fact,
really
on the
is.
Back of it, it's got the names and the date or the year at which they lost their life for their community. So we're certainly thankful for the Skamby County Sheriff Foundation. Again, no tax dollars were used on this wrap. Although I think that the community would say, I think that to pay honor and tribute to our deputies, that would be fine. However, the foundation they raise money. And they have two things. They want to help with our engagement, the Blazer
community.
Academy,
mm-hmm.
and our movie nights, but they also provide support for the employees as well. And in this case, they have paid for, not the first wrap that they paid for. They pay for the wrap that we put on a Corvette that we seized also, mm-hmm. and they pay for a number of things that they just don't brag about.
Last thing, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish coming up this weekend.
Speaking of the Skamby County Sheriff Foundation, their largest and greatest fundraiser will be this weekend. It's going to be at Five Flags Speedway, and it will start. We'll have a car show, and we'll also have obviously crawfish, cars, and cops will be there because there's a car show. So you can show up, even if you haven't registered yet, you can show up early that morning. You can look on the website, and it'll give you the information on exactly how to either register early or to show up on Saturday morning. I looked at the weather. It's supposed to be beautiful. You can come out there, and you can see as many cops as you want. You can see as many, we have our canines out there. A lot of our vehicles will be out there. The van that we just spoke of will mm-hmm. be out there. And again, just be a fabulous time. Cubs Crawfish will be selling the crawfish plates for you. And it's just, again, a start of the summer, and it is a wonderful event.
Outstanding. Skamby Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for educating the audience. Thanks for keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
What'd you say? You bet?
No, you say that at the end of it.
You bet. That's right. Outstanding. These are my catchphrases. Awesome. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That, of course, is yesterday with Sheriff Simmons. And if you are in need of a good night's sleep and you're not getting it, could be a mattress. It could be something else. I don't know. Can't say for sure. But one of the things that you find is people stay sleeping on a bed they should have long since replaced. You always wait too long. And the reason, and it's understandable, first of all, you don't want to spend the money. Beds cost money. Not a shock. Good beds cost good money. Right? I mean, you get what you pay for when it comes to bedding. Second, nobody wants to go to a mattress store. Nobody. Nobody wakes up in the morning. It's like, you know what I want to do? Can we go to like 3 or 4 mattress stores and just see how much fun that can be? No, it's terrible. You don't like being harassed. You feel like you're just, waiting for them to, attack you basically. And that's how a lot of them are. Well, you go to the sleep center and it's not like that. First of all, they do not work on commission, so no pressure. If you want to be left alone, you can be left alone. If you want to be educated and ask questions, they can do that too. They've been there for 30 years. Originally, they were in the Eastgate Shopping Center. Then about 15 years in, they moved over to Creighton, and that's where they've been ever since. They're doing so well. They eventually built their own building, and last year they had their best year ever in 30 years. That's amazing. Often imitated. Everybody else looks at their success. How can we deceive people into coming to our place and thinking they're going to their place? Well, that's a problem. Although it's a compliment, right? They have the best selection. They have the best service. They have the best price. They are the only ones that have that NASA Space Foam Tempur-Pedic patented design that you literally cannot imitate because you'd be violating the patent. Just as an example, the foam from the Tempur-Pedic has like 15 openings on average per cell, if you want to think of it that way. Other ones have 2 to 3. What that means is its ability to squish and to unsquish is different. It'll keep its form forever, and it will cuddle you and cradle you and hold you in place. Or if you prefer not to be held quite so much, you can do the hybrid one with the springs. The point is, I like that a little better personally. I like one where I can move around more. But everybody's different, and that's the point. You want to get a good night's sleep. You want to wake up in the morning refreshed. Go to the Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
I was able to confirm, it's still not being very widely reported, but I have been able to confirm that there was some kind of post-ceasefire attacks that went on against the UAE, against Bahrain, against Saudi Arabia. So in the region, and it's kind of weird. It's like, you know, Euronews will report this slice of it, and the Times of India will report this slice. So it's just not seeing a lot of reporting on major news sites just yet. But enough that I feel comfortable saying that Iran has, in fact, been launching some attacks against other countries in the region, not against the United States. So is the ceasefire holding? Well, you know, depends on the meaning of ceasefire. Depends on the meaning of is. It depends on who you're involved in. You know, like, so is the Strait of Hormuz being reopened? Is that going to track for 2 weeks? Like I've said so many times, time will tell. But I just think it's hard to negotiate with these folks. I think a lot of people were, last night, were kind of waiting to find out, did we just get involved in Armageddon? You know, like, what's, and I mean, and some people who are really just terrified about President Trump, you know, because they just have kind of gone over the edge on who he is. They read his, you know, Truth Social message, his Trump Social message, and they, like, oh, my God, he's going to destroy an entire, he's going to engage in genocide. He's going to do war crimes tonight. He's going to drop bombs on them, nuclear weapons. The president whose justification for going to war against Iran is to stop nuclear war is going to use nuclear war? Come on, people. But, you know, just settle down. Take a breath. Trump says a lot of crazy things, and then he does some things. Watch the actions. Don't watch the words so much, right?